This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening, this is Inside Story with Sharmila Ganesan and Lee Chui Lin. Tonight, we're talking about PKR going into the Johor elections under their own banner.
So first, what does the decision to use the PKR logo say about the state of things within Pakatan? And then we revisit a conversation from yesterday about Pakatan Harapan's odds in Johor. And finally, where does Muda enter the picture?
Tell us, do you still consider Pakatan Harapan an effective coalition? Call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:07 and the latest news from the Johor state elections, or the upcoming Johor state elections, is that PKR has decided to use its own logo in the upcoming in the elections. So this comes from Organising Secretary Nik Nazmi Nik Ahmad, who says that they've decided to do this based on overwhelming requests from the party's grassroots and supporters.
Yeah, and this was decided by consensus during a presidential council meeting yesterday. While Pakatan Harapan's remaining coalition members, DAP and Amana, will continue to use the coalition logo. So there was a further explanation on this, actually. So Nik Nazmi did say that the Pakatan Harapan logo symbolizes an era that included the government's downfall in February 2020, and that that's the reason why they're staying away from it, right? Because it has these sorts of connotations or associations. And that despite this, Pakatan remains united ahead of the election. He also described it as a matter of strategy and tactics, since the PKR logo is much more recognizable than the Pakatan Harapan logo. There have also been other examples, actually, where the various parties within the coalition have used their own. And I can understand that as well, right? It depends on the demographics or who you think is more likely to recognize who you are and as what. So, for example, in Sungai Kandis, PKR did use their own logo. In Sandakan, DAP used their own logo in 2019. And DAP and Amana in the Sabah state election used the Warisan logo, despite the fact that despite the latter not being a Pakatan Harapan component. So all of which to say, this is not necessarily unusual, but I think that it has gotten tongues wagging, perhaps, about how things are going within Pakatan itself.
It's not necessarily unusual, but then there's also such a thing as, I think, timing, right? Having it done now. And there have been responses, which I think have flamed some of those rumours that you're talking about. So while both Amana and DAP respect the decision, the parties did say that they would have preferred a common Pakatan banner to show a common purpose. We also have Penang Deputy Chief Minister Tu P. Ramasamy criticizing the decision, and I'm quoting here, he said, if PKR does not trust the coalition's logo, then what is the point of having the coalition in the first place? And Trust Assembly person Chow Yu Hui said the same, very similar things, basically said that this means that Pakatan Harapan exists in name only. So I think this kind of sets the stage for an interesting time come the elections, given also that it isn't going to be an easy ride for Pakatan in the first place.
Yes, which I suppose is part of what has people wondering with this slight breakaway, right? Or this decision to say, well, yes, we are part of Pakatan Harapan, but in terms of the visuals, we are going to be PKR heading out alone in this. And I think that the other question actually that I wanted to ask you, Sharmila, is whether or not you feel that, are you even following the coalitions anymore? I think this is my question, because there's a tremendous sense of fatigue, really, when it comes to our politics and the state elections and the various rumblings and meetings that happen anytime an election is announced. But the other part of it is that in the lead up to it, we hear all of this, basically who wants to work with who is friends with who, what is happening. And all of that doesn't necessarily make it feel as if coalitions are aligned for a common purpose. Instead, they're aligned simply out of political expediency. And so if you're going on that basis, then what does a coalition mean to the voter?
That's actually a very good question. And I think my honest answer would be I follow them because I have to, because it's my job. But if I didn't have to, I'm not sure whether it's something that I find fruitful, mostly because I know where I vote. And come any election, I will know who my choices are. I'm not sure anymore whether... Also, you know, with things like party hopping and seeing so much of this change, alliances move and shift over time, I feel like throwing your lot in with one coalition now feels, I don't know, a little bit dicey, perhaps not knowing where it's going to lead.
Coalitions feel like something that happened after elections, not before elections. Mm. That's how it's starting to feel. Like, you know, that there are loose agreements, but then the formalization that, oh yes, actually we are a coalition, happens when the math begins, right? Like to see where the seats are falling. I know that sounds very cynical, but I just feel like we talk about coalitions all day. And this is where the conversation's been recently.
I think that phrase common purpose sometimes is what seems to be missing, and often it becomes a matter of strategy. Anyway, we are talking about PKR choosing to contest under its own logo for the Johor State elections. And we're kind of expanding that conversation to talk about Pakatan Harapan in general. Let us know, do you still consider PH an effective coalition? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be joined by Ben Sufian, Program Director at the Merdeka Centre. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Built for marketeers, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:14. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're discussing the fact that PKR is choosing to run in the Johor State elections under their own banner. And we'd like to hear from you. Do you still consider Pakatan Harapan an effective coalition? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Ben Sufian, Program Director at the Merdeka Centre. Ben, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on.
So, as we've said, PKR has announced that they're running under their own logo rather than the Pakatan Harapan one. And this has sparked some rumours of discontent within the coalition. What are you hearing on this?
Yeah, I mean, if we are speaking to people who are close followers and supporters of Pakatan Harapan, there is a tinge of disappointment that the separation, or rather the decision to use separate logos, does indicate as if, gives the impression that the coalition is not campaigning together in the Johor State election. And that it also, I think, stoked some fears that it could herald a breakup or further dissipation of the coalition into the future.
So since the starting point of our story today is the logo and the decision to use the logo, how significant are logos during elections? I mean, I know they're going to be emblazoned everywhere.
Well, I mean, in many ways, the logos are important only in that it provides an indicator of campaign activity and the relative strength of the campaigning parties. So the more money you have, the more flags and banners you put up, in some sense is an indication of your strength in campaigning and reaching out to voters, and an expression of your desire that with such display of assets and advertising, it also indicates a capacity of the contesting party to actually solve the people's problems, or at least the targeted audience's problems. But the reality is, the logo has less importance than what a lot of people think. The image of the party, the leadership, and what it stands for means more to a lot of voters, to the vast majority of voters, than a logo or an insignia. And what we've noticed over the last several years is that certain parties are known by its symbols and logos, but most voters are aware about what the main parties are all about. And therefore, having separate logos or the same logos doesn't actually provide, big advantages, significant advantages. There just might be a very marginal advantage over a small segment of voters who are not very aware politically, but I would say any advantage afforded by logos is very minimal, particularly in this day and age where most people are now connected via the internet and they can find out about parties and the discussion and gossips about its leaders.
Now, when PKR was first formed, it stood for Reformasi, right? And that's really been a rallying cry for the opposition since then. All things considered, how much cachet does the PKR logo and its ethos still hold?
Well, I mean, PKR as a party remains known as a party that's challenging the establishment, that's trying to bring some reform. But I think like all parties in Pakatan Harapan that won the 2018 election, the image suffered somewhat because the performance of the government, the difficulties that they encountered, particularly in trying to implement their reforms and also communicating about their policies and the changes in those policies to the public, I think cost them some votes. I think that's first and foremost. The second thing is that, you know, while it is a party that started out as championing reform, we have to bear in mind that in Malaysia, political choices, you know, still very much are determined by the ethnic and cultural background of the voters. And so PKR has largely been seen as an urban-based, somewhat more liberal political party, particularly among the Malay voters in Peninsular Malaysia. And this makes it much harder for them to win over Malay voters when they are contesting against long-standing Malay parties like the Islamic Party, PAS, or UMNO.
So PKR have said that part of why they want to use their own logo is because the Pakatan logo has become a symbol of a short-lived government, Langkah Sheraton, and so on and so forth. What does this say about how the coalition is viewed?
Well, I think different people view the coalition differently. So because like what I said earlier, in that the political perceptions or perspectives of our voters are greatly coloured by the cultural and ethnic background, as well as the urban-rural divide that bisects our nation. And so I think the underlying tone there is that the Pakatan Harapan government, at least in the eyes of the average Malay voter, and I think this is the Malay voter that PKR is very concerned about, you know, judging by the demographic distribution of the seats that they're contesting, the average Malay voters feel that the Pakatan Harapan government was dominated by the DAP. And I think this is what they felt hampered them in the recently concluded Malacca state elections. That, I think, is first and foremost. The ability to win back Malay support, because it's quite clear in the Malacca state elections, more than half of Malay voters who voted for Pakatan Harapan actually voted for Perikatan Nasional. So I think that's a challenge that they need to overcome. And I would say a superficial solution to that is stick to the old logo and not the new logo that's associated with Pakatan Harapan in government and Pakatan Harapan that is that has a strong image of the DAP. So that is the perception that seems to be lingering about.
Now, this is, of course, coming from PKR themselves. How do you think the other members of the coalition feel about this, it being the symbol of a short-lived government and so on?
Yeah, I think for the different parties, they have different considerations. And I think they have to look into, you know, what kind of constituencies that they're contesting. You know, I personally feel that at the end of the day, the only reason why a party wants to contest in an election is to try and win power. And to win power, then one has to be very clear in terms of where support can be gained and where support cannot be gained, because it also means allocation of resources and time and effort and so on. And so I think with respect to the different parties that formed Pakatan Harapan, you know, back in the day, it was in many ways, I think, to put it very clearly, a coalition that was based on certain principles that the country needed reforms and the country needed to move away from ethnic-based politics. And I think that really hasn't changed. But I think the challenge that is faced by parties like PKR and to some extent even parties like AMANA is that how does one articulate that in a very difficult environment, particularly communicating to Malay voters and more so in the UMNO heartland of Johor. So I think they need to find whatever little sliver of advantage that they can deploy in order to win the election. So I think if we look at last year, no, not last year, in 2020's Sabah state election, the DAP went with Warisan and adopted Warisan's logo, and PKR stayed with their logo. So it is not, you know, odd to have parties switching logos in order to win over support, in order to get additional advantage, you know, with the aura or the influence of more established parties. So I think in the case of Johor, PKR probably feels that they have, I think, a slightly greater edge if they contested under their own party symbol as opposed to the Harapan or Pakatan Harapan symbols.
Before we move on from Pakatan itself, I just wanted to ask you one last question on this, because they of course took a huge hit in terms of public perception, particularly during Langkah Sheraton. They haven't done well in subsequent elections. What is it going to take for the coalition as a coalition to recover, or is that perhaps not a priority anymore?
Well, I think the Langkah Sheraton event or incident, you know, that is quite far-reaching in many ways. Because if you look at how Pakatan Harapan won the 2018 election, they actually won the election with less than one quarter of Malay support. And therefore, it spelled the difficulties that they encountered right from day one being in government. Because the moment they formed government, 80% of the Malay electorate was actually out there in the opposition. And there was the opposition at that time, UMNO and PAS, banded together against them. And we recall, you know, the rallies for ICERT, Rome statues, and all of those populist and nativist issues that were mobilized by the then opposition. It just spoke of the difficulty that Pakatan Harapan had in order to win over. So, and now I think when we look at Melaka state election, Melaka state election showed that Pakatan Harapan lost more than half, actually to be exact, 55% of the Malay support that they had attained in 2018. When you transpose that in a multi-coalition contest in a state like Johor, the chances of winning is very, very slim, you know. And so for, what does it take for them to come back? I think the realization that egos and even principles, you know, it's hard to tie politicians with principles, you know. At the end of the day, you know, politics is the art of the possible. I think they have to find it within them to work with comfortable partners. So not to have a coalition, perhaps, but some kind of cooperation or non-aggression pact so that they can maximize the votes that they can deploy against their principal opponent. Without doing that, they can kiss this election goodbye. And the next election, general election, or even other states, is going to be exceedingly difficult because with the advent of Undi 18, it doesn't necessarily mean that young voters are going to vote for what is perceived to be a progressive or moderate party. They might just go back to how their parents voted. And if the Malacca results were any indication, younger Malay voters, while not many turned up to vote for Barisan Nasional, they didn't vote for Pakatan either. So there is a deep, I think, introspection that's needed for leaders, both in Pakatan and Perikatan, to consider before facing this Johor state election.
So speaking of that then, could this perhaps be a litmus test to gauge PKR support if they were to go solo?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it's going to be a litmus test for all the parties that are contesting in this election if they all went ahead with the current plans. It's not just PKR or Pakatan Harapan, but also the DAP and others. Because I think politics in Malaysia, because of the first-past-the-post system, requires parties to cooperate in order to maximize the number of votes that they can gain. And therefore, they need to go to the middle. And they need to go to the middle, and in the context of our country, unfortunately, to the middle of every single segment that's there. So if you look broadly, parties need to be able to cater to the middle part of the Malay political spectrum, which is not the same as the non-Malay political spectrum. And therefore, if Pakatan Harapan is veering a bit further to the left, they need to find their way back to the middle of the road so that they can try to maximize their votes.
We have just a couple of minutes left with you, Ben. And, you know, at this point of time, none of the coalitions really seem to be projecting a totally united front. What does this say about coalition politics in our country and where it is at the moment?
Well, you know, our politics in Malaysia is still very much driven by personalities. So personalities matter a lot in terms of providing an image of the party, providing leadership, and also direction. So it's actually within the ability of the leaders to determine the direction for them to swallow some pride and accept that they can't win alone, you know, that they need to work with others. And there have been lessons in other countries as well. I mean, if we look at situation that emerged in Eastern Europe, because we are a kind of transiting country. So the former Communist Party was very, very strong, but yet the democratic forces were split into 17, 20 parties. They could never win against the former Communist Party. So likewise here in Malaysia, the parties that are trying to go after the established parties will need to find a way to unite or at least to have a cooperative pact so that they can minimize overlaps and they can try to maximize the support for their own candidates.
Ben, thanks for speaking with us today.
You're welcome.
We've been speaking with Ben Sufian, Program Director at the Merdeka Centre, about PKR's decision to contest under their own logo for the Johor elections. We'd like to hear from you. What do you make of this? Do you still consider Pakatan Harapan an effective coalition? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll look at Pakatan's chances in the elections. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bigotry-free Malaysia. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:36. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today it's mostly about Pakatan Harapan. On the wake of news that PKR is going to be running under their own banner in the Johor State election. So earlier we talked about the significance of that. And shortly we'll look at what the chances are for Pakatan in the upcoming elections. But we would like to hear from you. Do you still consider Pakatan Harapan an effective coalition? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We have lots of thoughts already.
So Munif says, if you see a flock of birds fighting each other, it's a safe bet that they're probably PKR members. The kings of fighting and implosion not using the coalition logo, I expected nothing less.
I don't know how to respond to that except to say, yeah, I'm not sure many people are so surprised by this.
I don't think anybody is really all that surprised. And again, it goes back to our first question, which is whether or not Pakatan Harapan is, I guess, still an effective coalition, or whether it is seen as, I wouldn't say sinking ship, but whether it's seen as a ship that its component parties are seeing as, do I still want to be involved here?
Well, Kalai says, coalitions are fluid and temporary for short-term outcomes. Independent political parties are more permanent and better identified by the voters. Amanah and DAP should follow PKR and run under their respective logos. So long as they are aligned against their common enemy and don't undermine each other, going with their respective logos would be a better winning strategy.
Yes, I think so, depending on the party. So I don't think it's an effective winning strategy for everybody. I do think that for the parties that are really entrenched, that people know very well, or where the person in question has had like a very long time presence there, then maybe so. But otherwise, for smaller parties, and I'm including people like Bersatu, Amanah, I'm not actually sure that running under their own banner is that effective. And there's a reason perhaps why, aside from loyalty, there might still be a preference to go under the Pakatan Harapan banner. I think the other thing about coalitions being fluid and temporary is a very fair one. Perhaps we have focused so much on Pakatan Harapan because of the outcome of the last actual election, and that was the coalition that won. Perhaps after GE15 it won't mean as much. I don't know.
Also, perception and branding counts for a lot, right? And they've done a lot to push the Pakatan Harapan coalition as the thing that we should support. And so I think some of this disillusionment also comes from that, because now you're expecting us to change how we view it and accept that the component parties might still stay the course in some ways. We have Jessica, though, with a different opinion. So Jessica is actually responding directly to our question about whether Pakatan Harapan is still an effective coalition. And she says, yes, of course, PH has many young politicians with good brains.
So I think that the question here is whether it is PH or whether it is parties, because these politicians, really belong to component parties that then belong to Pakatan Harapan. And the question, therefore, is whether, I guess in some instances, as we're seeing, Jessica, we still think of these politicians as being aligned with Pakatan specifically. For me personally, I've started to think about them more in terms of their party. And I think that mostly has to do with, I don't know, with maybe them starting to have that differentiation.
Keep those thoughts coming. Do you still consider Pakatan Harapan an effective coalition? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, moving back to the Johor State elections, there has been quite a bit of discussion around across the station, particularly when it comes to how this might all pan out for Pakatan Harapan. So yesterday, we spoke to Dr. Bridget Welsh, who is Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham's Asia Research Institute, about how prepared Pakatan is for the elections.
And I think Pakatan Harapan, I see, is in a position of scrambling. They are not prepared for the election. They are hoping that they can bridge the players in the opposition, Muda and Warisan, and of course to stem off any cooperation with Bersatu.
She then spoke about how she sees Pakatan doing in Johor and where the outcome may leave them in the national setting.
I see political erosion. You know, we've got, they have 27 seats. Amana, PAKR seats are in very serious challenges. DAP also, if we look at, they potentially are going to have a significant erosion. How much depends on how they position themselves now, in terms of that, because they don't have very strong machinery, especially Amana and PKR, but including DAP, but especially those first two parties. The cooperation among them is not that cohesive. And what we're seeing is this election will look like to be held in February or early March. And there are a number of factors that I think are going to be at PH's disadvantage. One is turnout. Keep in mind that Johor election is particularly reliant on voters coming back from Singapore, and they will not be able to do that in the COVID context. And of course, the timing of the election, relatively close to Chinese New Year, will also affect this beyond issues of COVID and beyond these issues of fatigue. And then, of course, we've seen gradually a trajectory of support among Pakatan Harapan's base eroding. And this is not just coming out with people not coming back to vote. We saw a large numbers of Indian voters leaving Pakatan Harapan in Malacca, which I think is a very important group in Johor because it affects a large cohesis of the seats. We also see in Sarawak that there was significant contraction of support among Chinese voters for Pakatan Harapan, which is why DAP did so poorly in Sarawak, and not just in terms of turnout factors. And ultimately, Pakatan Harapan did not contract younger voters. PN was more successful in doing that to the same in terms of especially the new voters coming in. And so if they're looking at the Pakatan Harapan is looking at the voting trends, they don't show very much promise for Pakatan Harapan.
That was Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the University of Nottingham's Asia Research Institute. For the full interview, look up Unpacking the Johor Elections on our app or our website.
Next, we have Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid, a research fellow at Ilham Centre, who appeared on The Morning Run earlier this week, and he shared his thoughts on Pakatan Harapan's chances after the party's disastrous outcomes during the Malacca and Sarawak elections.
I think this is so far that what we notice in the ground. It seems that what's happened in Malacca is going to be repeated again in Johor for Pakatan Harapan, unless and until something drastic happens within the leadership of Pakatan. I think even now, after Malacca, I think on Ibrahim yesterday, when after the announcement of that SBR going to have a meeting on Johor on the 9th of February, Anwar Ibrahim mentioned that they cannot decide they will contest under what banners. I think this is a big issue similar to Malacca. So meaning they are still bothered with the same problems. Can they show a united front as what happened in 2018? I don't think so. In Johor, in my point of view, the leading definitely is DAP, but at the same time, Amana have a very better seat compared to PKR in Johor. So to understand, PKR can really squeeze PH as they squeeze them in Malacca is a big question mark. But as you said, I think Johor will be a very much easy test for leadership of Pakatan Harapan. I think this is the last battle that they really have to prove that it's still worth to be the leaders for the general elections soon.
That was Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid, Research Fellow at Ilham Center. The full podcast is available. You can just look for Peering Into the Future with Johor Elections. And let us know, do you still consider Pakatan Harapan an effective coalition? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll close off our conversation by looking at the other players, specifically MUDA. And for that, we'll be joined by Dr. O. Isan, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:47. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And we're closing off our conversation on the Johor state elections. We had spent the better part of the show focusing on Pakatan Harapan and specifically their decision to run and PKR's decision to run under their own logo. But now we're going to take a look at the other players, MUDA being one of the main ones. And we do want to hear from you. We have lots of thoughts already. Do keep them coming. Do you still consider Pakatan Harapan an effective coalition? Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We are now joined by Dr. O. Isan, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Isan, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
So what are you hearing about where MUDA might align itself during these state elections?
Well, I think because it is not aligning itself, I think at least at this point with Pakatan Harapan, and certainly not with parties from the other side of the political divide, such as BN and PN, it is very likely to run, for example, in a few seats, either on its own or in combination with this new player in Malaya, namely the Warisan Party. But of course, they are all aiming, specifically MUDA is aiming at, number one, the Undi 18 and automatically registered new voters, but also these voters who got disappointed or disillusioned with PH but could not bring themselves to vote for, let's say, PN or BN. Yeah.
So wherever they align, and you know the discussions are still ongoing, what might it indicate about their future plans as we move on and look ahead to like federal elections?
Well, at the moment, again, they are aligning themselves with Warisan. I think the idea, not only for MUDA, but also for Warisan, as well as even nowadays, as you mentioned just now, for the various component parties of Pakatan Harapan, the idea is to win as many seats as possible on your own, for example, in PKR's case in Johor, on your own logo. And afterwards, if you do win a substantial number of seats, then you will have, a seat on the table of negotiation for a ruling coalition.
So if we take a step back, are you expecting MUDA to be a significant player given the influx of new and young voters?
I frankly do not. I think they'll be lucky if they could win, let's say, one or two seats. I think it's likely to be even not even that. And that is primarily because sometimes we have the bias that those voters who are 18 from 21 years old would necessarily be more progressive minded. I think there are at least as many young voters who are conservative-minded as those who are progressive-minded. And number two, we might also think that young people could be more enthusiastic in joining politics or at least in coming out to vote. Well, that is, again, not necessarily the case. We see nowadays a lot of young people, they would rather spend time online. And when they do spend time online, it's typically
politically not as with their parents' generation, namely be politically active online, you know, passing various information and so on, but rather perhaps they are more in tune with various lifestyle fashion issues, or maybe even trying to make some money out of the internet. So to what extent these young voters would support Muda, I think is still questionable.
Having said that, there is at least one name that is hugely recognizable, and there is a cult of personality around Syed Saddiq. How do you see things going for him in the state election? Will he be able to bring in the votes?
Well, number one, I'm not sure whether he is running as in the state election as well. If he is, and he could win together with perhaps a few of his party colleagues, that's already a significant inroad, because, until now, we don't see this particular party winning any seat yet. Of course, they have not been running on their own recognition till now. Yeah. So the Johor state election would be a great test bed to see whether they are as popular as, for example, the cult of personality surrounding its president would suggest.
So, as we've said already, Muda hasn't come out with a statement for their strategy in Johor yet. How important is it that we see this soon, especially considering that they are the new kid on the block?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Muda, I think, would need to align itself with one of the larger coalition or parties, right? Either with PH or with our SA. Doing the, now with Warisan and so on, because I often tease some of my friends when they mention Muda. I mean, 10 years down the line, perhaps they would need to change their party name to Dua, because this young leaders in Muda, they will age as time goes on. Then what is then the particular appeal of the party? I don't see particularly attractive policies being tossed out by the party. I think this cult of personality would have a certain appeal, but only up to a certain extent. Yeah.
Muda isn't the only new party, though. There'll also be Pejuang joining the fray. How do their chances look?
I don't think it's very bright either for Pejuang, for Parti Bangsa Malaysia, if they are coming out, or this other party by the Prime Minister's brother and so on. I frankly do not see them standing any chance whatsoever. Yeah.
Ehsan, any final thoughts before we let you go?
Well, I think when we talk about Undi 18, it's also inclusive for those automatically registered voters. So, and that makes up, I think, about half of the new voters. But again, we don't know what is their political predilections. Would they be more conservative or more progressive, or would they come out to vote as well? So I think the Johor state election, once again, would be sort of a testbed for all these new developments in politics. Yeah.
Ehsan, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Oh Ehsan, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, weighing in about the playing field in the Johor state elections. And we do want to hear from you. This all started with Pakatan Harapan and PKR choosing to contest under their own logo. So do you still consider Pakatan Harapan an effective coalition? You can call 77732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We have plenty of thoughts.
Yes, so Katrina starts us off saying loyalty means nothing to Malaysian politicians. There are more blind sides, switch sides, double agents and all sorts of drama than one season of Survivor.
Oh, yes, Survivor, I think, pales in comparison. We should have a TV show.
We should, but I would like it structured like Survivor, mostly because they would be on an island.
Oh, I thought because you just actually get to vote them out forever.
Yeah, but it's not us, you see. It's still them.
This is true. This is true. We have, let's see. We have Bing saying, Pakatan Harapan is irrelevant. It starts from the top. The likes of PKR-DAP leadership, which is irrelevant, they are over the hill. Give the youth a chance. We've had enough of war. Time for them to start proposing strong policies and live with it. It becomes a clown show after the commendable numbers were declared.
I think this idea of proposing strong policies and living with it is a criticism that has dogged Pakatan Harapan for quite a long time, ever since, from Manifesto lah until now, all the way through. This is something that we keep hearing. We also have, let's see, well, Yap simply saying, Pakatan yang tak sepakat, yang tak sepakat, which I enjoyed. Meanwhile, we have TIDJ who says, they were never truly an effective coalition. Each component party had their own agenda. Some parties that were vocal became timid and silent when they were in power.
Yeah, I think that goes back to, again, not really seeing it play out. I will admit that, of course, they didn't get to serve their full term. So sometimes I think there is a little bit of expecting a lot in a very short amount of time. But yeah, I think that's a feeling that is coming through. Let's see, we have Tash saying, they're in dire need of a change in leadership. The old and tried formula isn't working anymore. People are tired of all these internal drama antics. I want a change in government like many Malaysians, but Pakatan Harapan is not doing much for us here. How long are we going to settle for the lesser evil? Do they have a plan on how to win the younger voters who will get to vote for the first time? Mesti tak de lah, with an eye roll emoji.
The lesser evil is a really important point, because I think that as long as it feels that way, you're not going to get the kind of buy-in, that kind of gut buy-in that you sometimes need in order to move the needle, which is feeding into this point made by Anonymous, who says, I think everyone's missing the point. With all the bad reputation that the current government, consisting of UMNO Bersatu and PAS, has, all the complaints on how they handled the floods, COVID, corruption, double standards, don't tell me it wouldn't be reflected in the polls, because if it doesn't, then no matter how bad the politicians behave, it wouldn't matter anymore. And I mean, I completely get that. But so far, it has not been. So I think that that's what it comes down to, right? And a big part of that simply has to do with the electoral system that we're working with, the ways in which the electoral boundaries are drawn up. That's one part of it. The other thing is the lesser evil point that was brought up there. And lastly, I think, and this is something we come back to time and time again, why people vote is sometimes so personal that this stuff doesn't factor in the way you want it to or the way you might want it to.
And this is something people have brought up so many times, right? Not parties not quite understanding what drives that vote, and instead thinking that playing on sentiments of anything but them, for instance, can actually work. Morelli just says, it's not the party or coalition, but people's mindsets. Until there are preferences for ethnicities, then corrupt and dishonest politicians will flourish.
I suppose until there is an ending, I assume, for ethnicity preference and so on. But yeah, I mean, yes, I think mindset is a huge thing.
Do keep those thoughts coming. What do you make of this decision by PKR? Do you still consider Pakatan Harapan an effective coalition? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.